Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, welcome to New Life Church.
We are a church committed to changing lives.
And we want to be in a community that's diverse.
And having a radical impact on this world for Christ.
And if you'd like to connect with us more, you can go to our Instagram and Facebook pages or our website.
Now let's lift our voices together to sing the praises of our loving Savior.
Let's worship our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Let's worship.
Thank you. with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship. We are Jonathan and Reba Dreesen, and we've been members of New Life now for the past 10 years or so. It's the first Sunday in Advent, a time of waiting for the coming of Christ. Each week, Along with the reflecting reading, we'll light a candle to remind us of this time of waiting. You are welcome to set up five candles of your own at home and light the candles with us here today. The Advent reading. God made the earth and everything in it, and all of it was good, but the people did not always follow God's ways. They hurt one another and the living things on earth. So God sent wise men and women called prophets. Their job was to remind people to live in God's image, but still the people ignored the prophets. And great pain and suffering followed. But God had another plan in mind, and a great prophet named Isaiah first spoke of it.
A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lay down with the goat, the calf and the lion together, and a little child shall lead them. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountains, for the earth will be full of knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11.
The whole earth is holding its breath, waiting for what is to come. Everyone has a feeling it will be something wonderful, something different from anything God has done before. On Christmas Eve, we'll be hearing the ending, or really a new beginning, to this story. Until then, let us wait with the prophets, anticipating God's news, good news of great joy. Shall we pray? Dear God, on this first Sunday of Advent, we begin a spiritual pilgrimage as we joyously anticipate Christmas Day, a reminder of the birth of our Savior as we come to worship. We know that we are in your presence. Give us your peace through us, that through us all may know the peace that Christ brings. In his name we pray, amen. Celebrate Christmas this year with the Bethlehem Walk. The Bethlehem Walk is an interactive event where individuals can literally walk through the Christmas story. We'll have different stations set up throughout the church for each of the narrative of the story that will include storytelling, game activities, and music, and more. Participants can sign up for a 20 to 30 minute time slot on Christmas Eve the 24th or Christmas Day on the 25th. Join us this Christmas for this event. Fun for all ages as we remember and celebrate the birth of Jesus. It is time for our offering. This week's offering is for New Life Ministries. In that, we have Fred Victory, who's working with WEC in the Middle East. Fred Sutherland, who's working with Multiply and Resonate Global Missions here in Abbotsford. Eve Pohl, who started and directs Hope for Kora in Ethiopia, a ministry that seeks to loosen the yoke of poverty. Jonathan and Janice Barnhorn, who live in Nigeria, involved in a Bible translation with a Resonate Global Mission and Wycliffe Bible Translators. As you can see on your screen, we have many ways to give. If you'd like to learn more on how to give, you can check out the link below in the video description. Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning on this Sunday. We ask for a blessing on this day. We also put a blessing on this offering as it's for the our missionaries that are part of this church, Lord. We just ask for a hand of guidance on them and also just a hand of security in these crazy times, Lord. Just thank you for what they do, and we ask you, in your name we pray, amen. Kids, Pastor Sam has put together a video and activity sheet for you. All these materials can be found in the video description on our website. Every month, New Life Kids starts a new series. This month's series is called Space Ninjas and Pirate Squirrels. They get to learn about God's faithfulness and power through the exile of the Israelites. If you want you and your kids to get more into the weekly videos, there are some reflection prompts following the lesson that can help your family dig deeper into the lesson. Now would be a great time to pause this video, set up your kids, and when we come back, we will be joined by Pastor Nathan.
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you again. And, we're in the Advent season. We've introduced it to you, and we're going to spend these next four Sundays, typically the four Sundays of Advent, in a series called A Christmas To-Do List. So, as a reminder, if you've picked up your package, your Christmas To-Do package, then you've got a to-do list of your own tucked away in that package. If you haven't received it, contact the church. We'll make sure you receive one. In this time of preparing for Christmas in this particular year, many things seem somewhat disoriented. All of the usual things that we're used to doing to prepare for our Christmas celebrations maybe are somewhat skewed or changed, or maybe they just are non-existent altogether. And instead of simply being disappointed and frustrated about that, I would suggest that this is a good time for us to reevaluate what we are busy with in our Christmas season. And so as we look at the Christmas story in the next several Sundays, we're going to pay attention to the Christmas to-do list that we encounter in the Christmas story. The first item that we're going to be covering is to believe. And we're going to take a look at the story of the angel's announcement to Mary of the birth of Jesus from Luke chapter 1 to examine the to-do list of believing. This is the word of the Lord. Beginning at verse 26 of chapter 1, the Gospel of Luke. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "But how will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Well, the way that Luke presents this story, Mary is not so much to be reverenced because she's the mother of Jesus, so much as the mother of Jesus, she is the first to receive him. She is the first believer, a model, if you will, of discipleship. And it all starts then with believing. Believing is one of the biggest to-do lists on our Christmas to-do list this year. Because the Christmas story, in fact, makes our faith very peculiar. John Stackhouse, in his little book called Can I Believe, explains it this way. He says that the center of the Christmas story is that God becomes a human infant. God becomes a human infant. He becomes in human flesh. And he does so simply in order to grow up, only to suffer and die and then rise again, and in that way somehow bring salvation to all of humanity. Compared to any other religion in the world, compared to any other kind of faith, that is a most peculiar thing. In contrast, our Christmas celebrations often tend to proclaim, John Stackhouse says, quote, some general inoffensive sentiment about love or generosity, forgiveness, renewal, hope, and so on and so forth. But who doesn't believe in those things? So, Christmas places this huge demand on our faith. If we're going to take Christmas seriously, if we're going to take Christmas at its root, God becoming human only to suffer and die and then rise again to somehow bring salvation to our world. To anyone, including to Mary, that sounds outrageous. In fact, the gospel writers, both Matthew and Luke, who tell the nativity story, both make the story sound not serene and wonderful so much as they make it to sound scandalous. So Mary, the model of a believer, even hesitates when the angel announces to her that God is going to become a human infant through Mary. Luke says she was greatly troubled and wondered at what the angel said. Now, Tim Keller makes note of the fact that that word wondered that we use wasn't so much simply a, I'm interested in that, I think I'm going to wonder about that, but rather it was more of a bookkeeping term. So she made an audit. She made an assessment of what the angel said to her. In other words, Mary examined this. She had questions about this. It's not so much that Mary had simply a blind faith because she was an ignorant backwoods girl, and so what else did she have to lose? No, she believed in spite of all of the questions that she had. In other words, for a non-believer, accepting the Christian faith, believing, the stumbling block in believing is the outrage, the peculiarity of Christianity claiming that the God of the universe would bother to enter into this world in human form. On the other hand, for believers, the stumbling block will be that we reduce that scandal of Christmas to something easier to believe. And I suspect that that's true especially of this year when all of our usual Christmas celebrations may be disrupted. This year, we're going to have to grab a hold of what we really believe, no matter how outrageous. No matter how peculiar, no matter how scandalous, no matter how unbelievable it is to everyone else. So the challenge for us is to ask ourselves whether we simply celebrate begrudgingly, because all of our cozy sentiments about Christmas are taken away? Or do we dare to believe the scandal that God comes in human flesh to die, to save us poor, desperate souls? To believe, even with hesitance. But another peculiarity about the Christian faith is the apparent distinction between doubt that comes from unbelief and doubt that is born from belief. You see, Mary was greatly troubled, and the angel responds, "Don't be afraid, you found favor with God." On the other hand, just one story earlier, at the beginning of chapter 1 of Luke, Luke begins the whole nativity story with the story of Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest, a faith leader, a representative of the entire religious establishment of the time. He was the husband of Elizabeth that is referred to in our passage. And he too is promised by an angel. He is also promised a child, although he is old with age, and so is Elizabeth. And so he asks essentially the same question as Mary does. "How can I be sure of this?" he says. "I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." And consequently, when Mary asks the question, "How can this be?" she receives the news, accepts it as a servant of God. And the result is a song of praise, as we hear later on in the chapter. With Zechariah, he asks the question, "How can this be?" And his mouth is shut for a time. And then only later on, when his son is actually born and he is obedient to God, then he regains his faith. Unbelief is quenched in silence, but faith, however timid, breaks into praise. It's about believing in humility. And again, Mary is the model disciple. She comes from the backwoods of Israel. She's but a mere girl and has very little status in that society of the time. And yet, in Scripture, she is held up as the model of the humble spirit by which we are to receive our Savior. Believing in humility. You say, "Wow, that can't be that big of a deal." But see, here's the thing. Often in an effort to believe with confidence, and we often want to believe with confidence, right? But often in an effort to believe with confidence, we assert our faith in a spirit of superiority that betrays more arrogance than it does, in fact, confidence. And so we end up believing as Zechariah did, out of unbelief, really. Figuring that we've secured our faith. We've boxed it in already. We've secured it in our Christian lingo and in our religious practices and in our Christian behavior. And we allow no room for God to act outside of that. And in fact, we shut him out of our lives. Here's how it happens. You say, "Wow, that can't happen. I go to church all the time, and I behave right." But here's how it happens. You see, faith answers the question, what can be done about all that is wrong with our life in the world? That's essentially what faith does. It answers that question. What can be done about all that is wrong in the world and in our lives? And the Christmas story proclaims that the only thing that can save us, the only thing that can be done about the predicament we're in, is for God to come and save us. We, however, easily succumb to the temptation to save ourselves, to assume that actually we can do something about it. Whether it's trusting in our right action, which leads into moralism or legalism, or trusting in right rituals, oh, if only I do this, God will do that for me. And in essence, we end up in a magic land. Or the right spiritual high. If only I can appease God and do the right things, I can reach a level of existence by which I can escape all that is wrong in my life. Trusting in God alone requires the greatest humility because it means surrendering everything we possibly could do to save ourselves, giving it up, and simply trusting in God's grace and mercy to save us. Admitting that we are completely helpless on our own, as Mary readily admitted. Believe. Even if it's with hesitation, but believe in the outrageousness of a God come down to earth to save you and me. Believe, even if it's with hesitance, but believe in humility. But always, always believe with hope. See, believing with confidence isn't so much about the certainty that we have, so much as it is about believing with hope. Believing with confidence isn't about certainty. It's about believing with a solid hope. We might confuse Mary's humble spirit with weakness, and yet later on she sings with tremendous confidence about God's faithfulness in keeping his promises in the Song of Mary. Why did Mary believe? Because she had hope. We could examine that by first asking, well, why do any of us believe? And again, John Stackhouse, in that book I referred to earlier, Can I Believe?, says that we believe things to answer ultimate kinds of questions like, what's real in life? What's the best things in life that we can hope for? What's wrong with life? And what can be done about it to achieve that best thing? And Mary came from a Jewish tradition that had certain answers to those questions. A tradition that said God was real. God was involved in this world. In fact, he created it. That's everything that's real about this world. She came from a tradition that believed that what's best is to be able to live with that God in this world, to live in God's presence. What's wrong with this world is that that presence is taken away because of our sin and our rebellion against God. We've refused God's presence. That's what's wrong with this world. And what can be done about that, in Mary's tradition, was the great promise that God would send a Messiah, a Savior, to restore God with his people forever. Mary believed in that hope because she believed in God's faithfulness. And so when the angel announced to her the birth of baby Jesus, she believed that God was fulfilling his long promises. She had hope. She believed with a solid hope. So the baby in Mary's womb is the fulfillment of the great promises of God. God has kept his covenant with his people. Mary's a witness to that. She sees in this event that God has, as she says in the song later on, she sees that God has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. Verse 54 of Luke chapter 1. We can have that same kind of hope. In fact, we ought to believe, if we're going to follow the model of Mary, we ought to believe in that. We ought to believe with that same kind of hope. For we testify also that Christ has come. Not only that he has come, but that he's remembered his mercy to us. Not only that he's remembered his mercy to us, but we can also rest assured that he has accomplished his salvation, bringing it to us here on earth. And even in the midst of that, however, we cling to yet another promise of God and rest in God's faithfulness and in hope that he will return again to make all things new. Believe in that hope that God will make all things new again. In faith, we make the claim that Mary makes, testifying to a God who is ageless and faithful. Through all generations, he has helped his servant Israel, we say with Mary. And through the centuries, God has kept his covenant with his church. And the promise is still good for us today, because God never changes. Believe, even with hesitance, believe in humility, and believe with great hope as we enter into this Christmas season. Mother Mary, so meek and mild, is the model for every Christian to believe and in faith center our lowly lives on a mighty God. It's the song of the poor in spirit. It's the song of the meek. It's the song of the pure in heart. It's the song of those who are so disappointed in the circumstances of their lives. Blessed are they, for they will inherit the kingdom of heaven. May the gift of God's favor rest on you as it did on Mary. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of faith. Thank you, Father, that you've offered yourself for our salvation. We admit, Father, that it not only humbles us, but it also causes us to question, to wonder, along with Mary. So God, strengthen our believing and help us even in our unbelieving. And so make us faithful. Spirit of God, we rest in you. Humbly we present ourselves before you, confident in the hope that in your faithfulness, O God, you will make all things new. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well then, go into this new week and enter into this Christmas Advent season, a time of waiting, of expectation, that God will accomplish all that he promises. God will be faithful. Enter into this Advent with that kind of believing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. Amen.
In the darkness we were away, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came right. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the laws and prophets, to a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father.
Praise his name forever. What an amazing king we serve. This morning, Pastor Nathan kicked off our Christmas to-do list series by talking about belief and encouraging us to believe like Mary did. And now we get the opportunity to put those words into action. So go ahead and grab your gift bag and pull out week one, the Believe envelope, and we'll read it together. And if you didn't get a chance to grab the bag, you can still come by the church this morning from 10 to 12. Let's see what our challenges are this week. First, spend a week doing devotionals as a family after dinner. Make a list of what you're believing for 2021 and put it on your fridge. Share with someone the most outrageous thing that you would want God to do in your life. And for the kids, your challenge is to color the Advent coloring page for week one, Believe, and send it to sfisser@newlifecrc.ca. May God bless you as you go about your challenges this week. Go in peace.